Coming up is my interview with Laurel, an expat from America in Germany who changed careers while in a new country and became a web developer. Now she's in a wonderful relationship with a German local, so tune in. Welcome to the Are We Home Yet podcast, where I talk to expats about what it's like living, working, making a home abroad. You'll get great information for your move abroad via this podcast. Also, go to the website, arewehomeyetpodcast.com, and subscribe to the blog for more helpful information to make your home abroad a success. I'm your host, Jalila Clark. Welcome to the show. Okay, hello. Thanks everyone for returning back to this new podcast, Are We Home Yet? So today I'm interviewing Laurel, and how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great, great. Okay, so where do you currently live and how long have you lived there?
So right now I live in Berlin, Germany, and I have been here for almost 4.5 years. I moved in September 2017. I feel like Berlin is so many things that it's hard to just think of one way to describe it. I feel like it's a very dynamic city mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. Like it's very liberal and open-minded. And so I feel like a lot of people, not just like from other parts of the world, but even within Germany, I feel like a lot of people come to Berlin because they find it a safe space or a place where they can truly be themselves. And that's one of the things that made me want to move here. Mm-hmm. Because you can just be walking down the street and see somebody like wearing a business suit. And then the next thing, you know, you're seeing somebody looking all goth or grunge, or somebody cross-dressing. Like it's, you literally can see all these different types of people in the same amount of time or in the same day. And I think that's really, really cool. Whereas in a lot of other places, I don't think it's as open-minded. And I feel like people feel like they need to be in a box. Mm-hmm. And so Berlin is like this place where people can truly be themselves. And I think that's one of the best things about this city. And culturally, I would say it's very different from the rest of Germany. Like if you speak with Germans, especially Germans that don't live in Berlin, they'll say, oh, Berlin isn't real Germany. And I think it's because, okay. you know, it's this place that attracts all these different types of people. And it's also very international. Mm-hmm. Like you'll meet people from the US or from Australia or South America. Like you'll meet people from all over the world. And as a result, I think it's a bit more acceptable to speak English here than mm-hmm. it might be in other parts of Germany. Like if you were in Munich or Hamburg, for example, there's a bit more pressure to learn the language right off the bat. Whereas here, there's so many companies that operate in English and are very international, and they have people working from that are from all over the world. And so, yeah, it's like Berlin is very much the antithesis of German culture, I would say. I would think that was what Germans would say about the city. Mm-hmm. And I would also say Berlin is actually in a really interesting place mm-hmm. right now, because, you know, it's always been, even back in the 20s, like if you go like look up some history of Berlin and you look at old photos from the 1920s or the era before World War II, it was very much that it had that culture even back then, where it was this place where people could be themselves. They could be openly queer if they wanted to. It was a very welcoming place for mm-hmm. artists and people from different, from different mm-hmm. backgrounds. And so it's always been in the fiber of the city. And then fast forward to 2022 and you have all of these tech companies moving in, like Amazon's actually building a big headquarters here, because, you know, like I feel like over the past 10 years or so, it's become very cool to be in cities, or at least that's, you know, coming from somebody that's lived in the US, where I felt like for the longest time in the US, everybody wanted to be in a suburb because they wanted that big house and they wanted the cars, and that was the ultimate status symbol. And now, or over the past 10 years, it's been a lot of people have been gravitating towards cities. And wanting to, and you know, all of these big companies are realizing that, and they want to be where everyone is and have a presence. And so that's totally transforming Berlin. And so it's kind of like, it's still this place where people from all different parts of life are coming, but then you also have this very, you know, corporate tech side, and they're kind of at odds with each other. And, you know, if you look up research or different articles about Berlin, like lately, like one of the main things that they've been talking about has been, you know, rent and how it's gone up. And I've noticed mm-hmm. this just from being here the past 4.5 years. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see how that affects the identity of the city, because, you know, a lot of the types of people, like the artists or the people that would normally come here, you know, maybe don't have as much money as somebody that works in tech. And it's like, are they even going to be able to have a sustainable life here? Yeah. And I think the government is trying to make sure there's always a place mm-hmm. for everybody that wants to be in Berlin, because mm-hmm. that's been the culture of the city for so long. And it would be really sad for Berlin to go the way of maybe like London or New York or like so many other cities around the world, where they at a time had a very funky, eclectic scene, but because of gentrification and all of that, the people in those communities had to be priced out.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing in Berlin. And then I'd say food-wise, like food has actually been something that's been a very interesting topic for mm-hmm. Among expats in Berlin. And because a lot of people be like, oh, like Germans don't know what they're doing when they're cooking and they don't know how to season their food. And mm-hmm. so I remember when I got here, mm-hmm. I remember finding some really good restaurants. Mm-hmm. And like, again, because Berlin is so international, you will find a lot of really good restaurants from different parts of the world. Like, you know, there's a lot of good Vietnamese restaurants. There's a lot of good Thai. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, you know, Italian. So you'll find a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But I remember thinking that first year I was here, it's like, okay, if I'm going to have good Mexican food, I'll do it when I go back home, like when I'm visiting my family, like when I'm back in the US. Or if I want good Indian food, I'm going to go to London. Mm-hmm. But I will say, over the past 4 years, like the food scene has evolved so much mm-hmm. where now I can say like, oh, street from this place that makes really, really good tacos, that they don't hold back mm-hmm. on the spice or the seasoning. There's really good Indian food here. Mm-hmm. I went to a Chinese restaurant last weekend that was really good, and it reminded me of what I used to have in the States. Mm-hmm. And there's even like a New York slash Detroit style pizza place now. Like, it's just evolved so much, and I think that's been really cool to see. Mm-hmm. Because I think because Berlin, you know, was split in two during the Cold War, like there was East Berlin and West Berlin, and then like East Germany and West Germany. Like Berlin, I think, is a little behind in terms of, like, I don't know if development's the right word, but I feel like mm-hmm. there's still a lot of potential that for Berlin to get, because it's just so, where other cities were developing their identities during the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, mm-hmm. like Berlin was literally split in two. And so you had the West Berlin, the capitalist West Berlin, and then you have the communist East Berlin. And then in 1991, Germany reunified. and Berlin became a full city again. And so it's literally just been in these past 30 years that Berlin has been reclaiming its identity. And I think that's really exciting for a lot of people. And it's still like very much in a lot of ways, this blank canvas. And so that's why I think like a lot of these tech companies are coming in, but there's also these artists, and then there's a lot of really cool restaurants. And so there's a lot of moving parts in terms of the identity of the city.
Let's take a quick break. I'm glad you're enjoying the show. Want to make your move abroad as smooth as possible? Download the ebook from the arewehomeyetpodcast.com website for resources in making a home abroad. Unsure how to make money while living abroad? Download the free teaching online PDF with more than 20 online companies looking for people to teach various languages and different subjects. Download these two great items and make your move abroad a reality. Okay, back to the show.
It really sounds like you've really made a home there. I mean, is that correct? Or are you currently making a home? Would you like to make a home there? Like,
I felt more at home at Berlin than I did. And I feel like even in my hometown, like where I grew up, but I think it's simply because Berlin is the type of place where, as I said earlier, like anybody from any walk of life can come here and build a life.
Yeah.
So there's not this pressure. And I feel like, especially when you compare it to other cities in the US, like for example, I lived in Chicago for a few years and I grew up in Northwest Indiana. So I've always been like my first big city was Chicago. Like we, when I was growing up, my family would take us to like shows over there. We'd go out to eat sometimes. And then after I finished uni, I did live there for 2 years. And there's, even though in Chicago, you also can find people from different walks of life. I feel like there is also always this underlying like culture or like exception or like expectation or culture where people would, you know, as soon as they turn 30, they would want to be married and have kids and move to the suburbs. And it was just a constant cycle of that. And I never really bought into that. And so I think from that perspective alone, that made me feel like a bit of an outsider. And I think here, there isn't any of that. It's like, if you want to start a family, that's cool. If you don't, that's also cool. And so I think because Berlin, like you literally could do what you want here and like make a life on your terms and nobody's going to judge you for it. I think that makes it really easy to make a home here.
Okay. So let me stop you right there. So you mentioned the word outsider, you're from America, but then there in Germany, you said you could make a home there. So then what is your definition of home? I'd like to hear that.
That's a really good question. My definition of home would be where you feel like you can be yourself and live to your fullest potential.
Okay. Nice.
Like it's not like home to me doesn't necessarily equate to where your family is, or that might be for some people, that might be the case. But I think for me, it's the place, any place where you feel like you can be yourself, live your truth, and live your fullest potential.
Yeah. Okay. That's nice. Live your truth and your fullest potential. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So then is this your first time living abroad? Have you lived abroad anywhere else before? And
yes. So this is my first time living abroad. So, prior to Berlin, I had been living in California, in LA, and I was there for 5 years, and I'm very thankful for the time that I had in LA because I don't think I would have had the courage to do an international move if it weren't for me moving to LA first.
Because
I feel like I experienced so much growth during that time, but I got to a point where I'm just like, this place isn't for me anymore. It's really expensive. I hate having to drive everywhere. And so my original plan was like, okay, maybe I'll go somewhere where I don't have to rely on a car, or then that's a bit less expensive. So maybe that's back to Chicago, or maybe that's somewhere like Boston or whatever. I don't know. But then I started traveling, like doing solo traveling in 2015. And I just loved being in Europe. Like, I loved that life moves a bit slower here, and people generally take the time to actually enjoy themselves, because, you know, like the culture and the structure of most European countries allow for people to take things a bit slower and actually enjoy things. Whereas back in the US, it's very much high paced and go, 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 hustle, hustle, hustle. And I definitely felt myself getting burned out from that. And so when I started traveling and seeing that, I said, what can I do to have more of this in my life? And I decided, okay, I'm going to try moving to Europe. And that's how the journey started. At first, I wanted to move to Paris because I visited Paris and fell in love with it. But then I realized that, oh, I'd have to start over with French. Whereas with German, I had taken German all 4 years of high school and then a few semesters in college. And so I already had a handle, a bit of a handle on the language. Whereas with French, I would have been starting from square one. And so I think I'm like, well, if I'm in Germany, I can visit France anytime I want because it's literally just next door. And yeah, and then that was pretty much how the journey started. And I think I realized through traveling, like, I want to be able to do this as much as I can. Like, I don't want to be the American that only does one vacation a year because, you know, there's only 10 vacation days that you can use. And I know so many people back in the US that will go 3, 4, 5 years without taking a vacation. Because even though they might have the time, they either can't afford it or they feel like they just can't do it for whatever reason. And that's really sad because life shouldn't revolve around working all the time. And I will say, like, I think the pandemic has woken a lot of people up in the US to that fact, like, you don't need to be working all the time, or that's not the only thing that you're meant to be doing in life. And so yeah, so that was one of my main, I'd say my main motivations were to get away from that American hustle culture, but to also travel more, be in a position to travel more, because, you know, traveling is so expensive in the U.S., like to fly.
So then let me ask, like, did you relocate on your own? Did you relocate with someone else? And what was your profession, you know, when you were in America, were you able to like transfer that over with you to Germany? And if not, what did you end up transitioning to?
With somebody or by myself? So I came by myself. I didn't have a boyfriend or anything like that, which I think made my experience better, because I'll meet people like through GGI or other expat or immigrant communities that are women that moved with a partner, and they, you know, maybe are in a field that they couldn't take with them to Germany. Like, maybe they were in like nursing or something where, you know, you have to go, the requirements for being a nurse in the US versus Germany might be different. And then there's also the language barrier. So there's like a lot of people that are here that came for a partner. And so it's like, maybe they're on board with it, because obviously they theoretically wouldn't have done it if they weren't on board with it, but it's not a decision that was theirs. Like, they're doing it because of their partner. And so I think that makes a different, having a different experience. Whereas for me, it's like, this was something I decided, and I decided on Berlin. Because I came here on a trip, and I decided I loved the city and I wanted to give living in Berlin a shot. Mm-hmm. And so it is really nice, like knowing like this is a decision that I made for me. It wasn't, there was no influence from a partner or from a job or anything like that. Like this is something that was 100% me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that definitely has an impact on the type of experience you have mm-hmm. in a place. So I was working, my last job in the US was at a promo products company as a project manager. Like I was working on a lot of marketing projects and then mm-hmm. also doing a lot of logistical stuff. Like for example, one of my jobs was talking to the factories in Hong Kong or in China. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to not bring that exact job, but I was able to get another job in marketing when I got here. I was working as a marketing manager at a startup when I first got here. Mm-hmm. But I had realized even before I left the US, like marketing wasn't enjoyable for me anymore, especially like the social media part of it. Like it's one thing for me to post memes on my personal Facebook or Instagram or whatever, but I'm in full control over the content and the when I post, because there's some days when I'm, or some weeks when I might go 2-3 days without posting on Facebook. Like I might mm-hmm. scroll, but I don't feel compelled to share anything. Mm-hmm. And when you're on a marketing manager, like you have to be thinking about that. And you also have to be having results. And I think a lot of people, a lot of businesses have really unrealistic expectations on how they're supposed to leverage social media and all of that. And I think I just got frustrated and tired of having to have those conversations and be in that type of work. And I wanted to be in something where I was actually building something and not just selling it or promoting it all the time. And so I worked, but I took this job as a marketing manager because I'm like, hey, this is what my resume or CV says I'm good at right now. And it's something that can get me a residence permit for Germany. And then I'll figure everything else out. And so I was at this job for about 6 months. And then I left the company. And then I decided at that point that I would take some time to freelance and just really figure out what I wanted to do. And then it got to be the end of 2019 when I realized, okay, I'm going to go into tech. Like I'd always been interested in web design and web development and, you know, building websites, building applications. Like I actually started coding or learning how to code back when I was a kid at like 11 or 12 years old. And so I decided, okay, you know what? I'm going to do a boot camp. And so I did a boot camp at the beginning of last year. Mm-hmm. Or not last year, 2020. Mm-hmm. So crazy that's not a year ago anymore. And so I did that boot camp. And then it literally ended right as Germany and the rest of Europe were going into lockdown. And so that had an impact on, you know, finding jobs and stuff like that. And so I continued to freelance while I was job searching and then also, you know, continuing to build my skills and everything and learn. And then fast forward to last fall or the fall, I got my first job at a sports data analytics company here in Berlin. And so now I have a full-time job as a web developer. And yeah, and I really am happy that everything worked out. Mm-hmm. Because if for some reason I decided that I wanted to move on from Berlin, I could take this job with me. Because you know, mm-hmm. tech is like, you can work from anywhere with tech.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was another thing that drew me to tech was, you know, like it's literally, you could be anywhere in the world and you can still work. And I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you mentioned, like, you know, if you, you know, decided to move on. So, like, you know, would you like to make Germany your forever home? Or, you know, do you have your eyes set on any other country possibly in the next, I don't know, 5, 10, however long years?
That's a really good question, because there's a part of me that says, yes, I would love to make Germany my home. Like, mm-hmm. I would, like, before we hopped on this call, I was looking into setting up a retirement account. And I had a call with this company some months ago, and I was going through the emails we sent because I was thinking, oh, I'm going to reach out to them again and get this set up. And then I'm really close to being eligible for permanent residency in Germany. I think I could actually apply this year, but I'll probably wait until next year, just because of there's some other requirements that I don't think I'll have until next year. And then also the German, or the new German government, so like Germany has a new chancellor, and like his government has said that one of the things that they want to do is make the path to citizenship a lot easier. And so now they're saying, oh, if you've been living and working in Germany for 5 years and your language is at a certain level, you can apply for citizenship. Okay. And so there's a part of me that wants to see, like, okay, like, when is this going to happen? Like, would I be able to become a German citizen and all of that? And then there's a part of me that's like, okay, maybe Berlin isn't my forever place. Like, it might be cool to live somewhere else. Like, I really like Amsterdam. I think it'd be really cool to live there. But like, I did have a thought like a couple weeks ago, like, okay, if I did get permanent residency, or if I did get citizenship, I could do something like I would be able to have freedom of movement in the EU, which is huge. And so if I wanted to do something like try Amsterdam out for a year, or Stockholm or whatever, I would be free to do that, because I wouldn't have be bound by the visa or residence permit application anymore.
Okay, great. So let me just ask you a few more questions. And moving to Germany, what was the visa process like?
So Germany actually has a pretty straightforward visa or residence permit process, especially if you have a job. It's not like the UK or like a lot of other countries where a company or an individual has to pay thousands of dollars to get sponsored. So in Germany, the basic requirement is that you have a full-time job contract and that you're making at least as much as what a German would make. And that also you are getting enough to like cover your monthly expenses with no issue, because I think Germany is pretty, I think, lenient in some ways, as long as you're making enough money so that you're not having to tap into the system for money for any reason. I think that's their main thing. Like, they don't want to be giving residence permits to people that they feel like might end up being reliant on the system for whatever reason. And so that's if you have a full-time job. And also Germany does have a freelance visa. I didn't actually go through the process for that, so I'm not as familiar with that. But what I do know is that you do have to, it's a bit more involved than the residence permit, or like the one for if you have a full-time job, because you have to show that you're making a certain amount of income, that you also have some savings. And then also you need to have, I think it's two or three main clients that are German companies. And yeah, so that's pretty much all I can tell you about the freelance visa. And then there's also, you know, if you want to study in Germany, there's a student visa, and then there's even an au pair. But I think that's only for if you're between like 18 and 24, 25. But yeah, there's a few different options for if you're wanting to come to Germany and you want to apply for a visa. Obviously, the one that seems to be the most straightforward is the one where if you have a full-time job, where you just go and get a full-time contract, and then they double check to make sure that the amount of money that you're making is enough to cover your monthly expenses, and that it's also the same as what a German citizen would be paid, and then you're pretty good to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And so, you know, what is your day to day like?
It varies. So like during these times, like with COVID, I work from home mm-hmm. 3 or 4 days out of the week. And so I usually start my work day at around 10 or 11. And so before that, I'll get up, I'll make myself some breakfast. I usually have breakfast here, but I've been telling myself like, oh, I should go to coffee shops more. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of really nice cafes near mm-hmm. me. But yeah, I usually start my day, wake up, make myself some breakfast, and then do a little reading, and then I'll work. And then after my work day, I usually will go to the gym, or if I don't go to the gym, I might go for a walk if the weather isn't too bad, or chill at home and make dinner and watch some Netflix, or, you know, just keep it pretty chill. Like, I think I keep things pretty low key during the week. Mm-hmm. Like I said, this, I think that's just been the kind of routine that I've had during COVID times. Mm-hmm. And then I think during the summer, when the days are longer and it, like, people are wanting to be out and about more, there might be an evening where I might go out to dinner, or maybe might meet some friends in the park and have like a picnic or something for dinner. So it kind of depends week to week, but that's pretty much, I'd say, like a standard like weekday itinerary for me.
This is, you know, and I always wonder this about really any expat, when you make friends and then they leave, because you've been there, like, you know, I would think a significant amount of time. I think anything more than a few years is pretty significant. And so, like, you know, when they leave, then, you know, what does that feel like? Like, how do you deal with that? You know, like, you know, what happens to the friendship? Do you keep the communication going? So then, you know, I always wonder, like, how does each expat deal with that? So how do you?
I think with me and friendships, I learned even before I moved to Germany that friendships are very fluid, and there's some people that you're only going to have in your life for a certain period of time, and then you're going to go your separate ways. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's the nature of a lot of expat friendships, mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, especially in a city like Berlin, like, even for Germans, like, this isn't really a city where a lot of people stay more than a couple years. Like, they might study here, maybe they moved for a job, and then they might move on somewhere else after a year or two. Mm-hmm. I got super lucky in meeting a lot of people that have also been here for a really long time. And so I haven't really had a lot to, or had a lot of experience with, oh, what do I do when somebody leaves? Like, actually, like, one person in my circle actually is leaving Berlin today to move to Amsterdam. She's not somebody I keep in touch with a lot. Like, we might chat on social media, and I imagine that'll stay the same. And then, you know, the Netherlands and Germany are right next to each other, so it's like pretty easy. Like, if I wanted to go over to Amsterdam for a weekend, I could just hit her up and say, hey, do you want to go to brunch or whatever? And I feel like in terms of when someone leaves, and deciding how you want to move forward, I think it would also all depend on how close you are. Because obviously, if it were one of my closer friends here, and if they decided to leave, I would want to, you know, keep in touch. And hopefully, like, if we were in a group chat or something together, like, we would still be in those group chats and still talk and everything, despite the fact that we're no longer in the same place. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I said, I think even before I moved to Germany, I knew, just because, like, LA is kind of similar mm-hmm. in that it's a place where people don't stay for longer than a few years. And so you get used to meeting somebody, you click, you're really good friends, and then they, one or the other person leaves, and then mm-hmm. you're like, oh, that sucks. You know, so I think mm-hmm. the main thing is, you know, First of all, like being comfortable with doing things on your own, because mm-hmm. that makes it a lot easier to put yourself out there and like go to events and meetups and things like that, because you're not always having, oh, who's going to come with me to this, or I don't know anybody. And I think that kind of can stifle a lot of people if they don't have that mentality. Whereas for me, it's like I've gotten used to do it, like traveling and, you know, even going out to eat or seeing a movie. Like I just got comfortable with doing all of those things alone. And I think through that, you open yourself up to meeting new people. And then now this year, it's like a lot of people in my group aren't leaving, but the dynamic of a lot of my friendship, the dynamic of my friendships has changed a bit. Mm-hmm. I'm realizing I'm not as close with some people as I may have been before the pandemic. And so I'm realizing, okay, well, it's time to go out and meet some new people, or maybe connect with people that I knew, or like I met when I first got to Berlin, and we had always talked about hanging out. And so, yeah, so I think the main thing is don't be afraid to do things alone, and then always stay open for new possibilities for friendship. Like I think, especially in these times with the pandemic, like everybody's kind of going through their own stuff and they're processing things so differently, and it's causing them to change the way they see the world and how they're acting toward other people. And so that's obviously going to have an effect on friendships. And so I think I've realized, you know, it's people change, especially as adults, their life circumstances change. And so you have to accept that and just be open to new friendships to come in. Well, also hopefully, you know, if you're close enough with the person and if the friendship is important enough to you, like keeping it going and like staying in touch as best as you can, and maybe making a point to, okay, if like, for example, like me and my friend Mel, like we went to Greece the past two summers and we decided it was going to be an annual thing. And we want to try to do it regardless of where we all end up in the world. So it's stuff like that.
Okay. And so, you know, speaking of friendships, but, you know, let's kind of turn it towards the friendships that, you know, you had before you moved from America. Like what is that like? Have you been able to maintain those friendships?
Sadly, unfortunately, I feel like a lot of my friends back in the States, I keep in touch with at a very surface level. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because even before I left, like my life and their lives have just gone in completely different directions. And so I think sometimes, especially for the people back in the States, like mm-hmm. I actually did have this conversation with somebody. It's like they see somebody like me posting that I'm on Facebook and social media that I moved to Germany and I'm traveling and all of that. And the people back home are thinking, oh, I'm not cool enough to talk to, or she doesn't want to talk to me. She's too cool for me, da 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 da. And I feel like some of the people that I know back home are like have that mentality mm-hmm. where they're kind of like shy and afraid to talk to me because they feel like I'm not going to find them interesting anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so that's been kind of a downer because, you know, you do want to keep in touch with the people back home. And I feel like, yeah, so there's a couple of people I talk to on a semi-regular basis, but other than that, like it's pretty much just like some people interact, like responding to a story on Instagram or commenting on something on Facebook. But I feel like if I were to ever move back to the US, I'd probably have to start over with a completely new group of friends, because a lot of the people that I was close with, especially those growing up, it's like we've just grown apart, mm-hmm. unfortunately, just because I think because of just the trajectory, we just went on two different life trajectories. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My friends as well, like I think it would have been different if it were a thing of, oh, I'm only coming, like my original plan, like, oh, I'm only coming over here for 2 years and then I'm going to mm-hmm. come back. And now it's like, no, I want to make this my life. Mm-hmm. And And then on top of that, it's like, I don't have any children. I'm like, so it's like, there's just really not any common ground that I have with a lot of people anymore, because it's like a lot of the people I know back in the US don't even really travel that much within the US. And they'll say things to me like, oh man, I wish I could do what you're doing and da 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 da. And it's like, well, you could, but you decide that you want to buy a new car every 3 years, or you want to have the newest electronics, or like this big house and all of that. And I think a lot of Americans just don't get it, you know, and unfortunately, like, that's had some bit of an impact on my friendships with the people back home.
What has job hunting been like? And then do you feel that there is job security in the current field in which you work?
So job hunting sucks no matter what country you live in, I imagine. And I feel like it's really difficult in Berlin because so many people want to be here. And then, you know, like, I work in tech and, you know, luckily I work in a field where there are a lot of jobs and it's not necessarily required to work in German. So I am lucky in that regard, but it's still like a process. Like, you know, you go through the instances of having to go through several interviews and then not hearing anything back or being ghosted by companies. Or like over the summer, I was interviewing with a company, a small startup for a job. And the guy flat out told me that, he's like, oh yeah, I looked at your CV and I knew you weren't going to be a fit, but I wanted to talk to you anyway, you know, stuff like that. And which that brings me to another thing that I've learned as far as cultural communication is concerned. And that's been a big thing, but I think that's a really big issue that comes up among expats. And so I'm sure you've read in Facebook groups and stuff that Europeans, especially, I'd say especially Germans or any of the Northern European countries, are very direct. And so it took some time to learn that, like, if a German's telling you something, like being very direct with you, it's not because they're being mean or they want to make you sad or anything. Like, that's just the way that they talk to you. And you almost learn to appreciate it. And so sometimes when I think about that interview, I'm like, well, was that guy just being direct with me, or was he being a dick? And it's like, well, yeah, mostly he was being a dick, but but that was a big thing to overcome, because if a German doesn't like something, they're going to tell you that they don't like it, and they'll tell you that it sucks, and they're not going to hold anything back. Whereas when you're coming and you're in the US work environment, like, a lot of people are like, oh, like, you did this good, but this could be better, you know, they kind of skirt the issue and don't really get to what's wrong or whatever. And so, like I said, like, it is a bit of a shock at first, especially when you're going through something as stressful as job searching. But then over time, the longer you're here, you learn to appreciate it. So yeah, that was a thing. But yeah, I think, yeah, like I said, job searching anywhere is difficult. I'm lucky because I work in tech, and so there's a lot of jobs in my field. Like, even though I just started a new job back like 4 months ago, and I'm not, and I don't have on my LinkedIn that I'm open for work, because, you know, on LinkedIn you can say that you're open for work or open to jobs. I turned that off, and recruiters are still emailing me. So I mean, I'm not really super worried. And I think, and that's part of why I got into tech, because I know that wherever I want to go in the world, there's always going to be something for me to do. Whereas, like, I'll look on GGI or other Facebook groups and I'll see people struggling because, first of all, like, they came, like, if they were coming from the US and, for example, like, maybe they were a lawyer or something that was very, has very specific guidelines, and the guidelines for doing that job in the US and the job versus doing the job in Germany are quite different. And then there's also the language barrier. And so you have all these people that are like, well, what do I want to do that's related to what I studied that doesn't require German. And so luckily I don't have to really worry about that. Mm-hmm. And I think if you were to interview somebody that wasn't in tech, they'd probably say it's a bit harder. And so you find that a lot of people end up having to pivot in their careers or like they're kind of stuck in limbo because, you know, they're trying to get their German up to where they can be able to operate in a company setting, mm-hmm. while also like trying to figure out what like find a job. And so that's quite stressful. I would imagine is quite stressful. Yeah. And then what is nice about Germany, and I think most other European countries are like this, is once you pass your probation period, it's extremely difficult for a company to fire you. So it's like, you're good. And then you think in the event of like, if some reason a company needs to do like layoffs or, you know, they're downsizing or whatever, they have to give you a certain period of note, like a certain notice period. And then they also have to pay you a decent amount of severance and all of that. And so there's also a lot of protection from the government as well, like in terms of like, once you're in a job and you've passed the probation period.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is quality of life like for you in Germany compared to America? Like,
So I'd say my quality of life has improved a lot since being here. Like I've told you before, like I was in LA for mm-hmm. 5 years prior to moving to Germany. Mm-hmm. And in LA, you have to, and in most other places in the US, you need to have a car and you need to drive everywhere. But what makes it even worse in LA is there's like 20 million people commuting through the area at any given time. And so there's all this traffic. And so at one point I had a commute of like an hour and a half each way. Mm-hmm. And I would just be so exhausted that literally all I wanted to do was like, sit on the couch and watch TV. And it would suck because it was like, okay, I'd get home at like 6:30, 7 o'clock. And then I'd have like maybe a few hours of downtime before I had to get ready for bed because I had to be up early to commute the next day. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have to worry about that. And then also the expense of having a car, I don't have to worry about that anymore. And that was a major source of stress for me because especially in times when, you know, you needed to do an unexpected car repair and it's like, oh, I have to drop $500 that I wasn't planning on spending on this random car repair that just came out of nowhere. And so I think like having peace of mind that I don't have to deal with stuff like that is really, really nice. And then salaries are lower than in the US, but I don't think anywhere has high salaries like the US does. And I was really worried about that when I got here. Mm-hmm. But over time, I realized like I'm not making as much money, but somehow my money is going farther here because groceries aren't as expensive. Mm-hmm. Going out to eat isn't as expensive. Like I think to this day in Berlin, I think the most I've ever spent on a dinner is probably 35, 40 euros. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I would go out to dinner or brunch in LA, there are times when it could easily be a $100 night. Mm-hmm. And so like that's nice because that makes it more accessible and like you want to do it more. Obviously, like I still want to watch my budget and everything, but yeah, so I feel like when I was living in the US, I had to be very strict with my budget and be like, okay, I'm only doing two or three dinners out a month. And mm-hmm. you know, you had to be very meticulous because if you weren't, it could easily, that added up real fast. And so I think knowing that things aren't as expensive is really nice because that was also a major source of stress just because everything in the US is so expensive. Like my mom was telling me that she probably spends close to $100 a week on groceries mm-hmm. for her and my sister because they live together. So mm-hmm. knowing that I don't have to worry about that is really nice. And then I feel like I can save money, which is so, like I said, it's so crazy because I'm not making as much money, but because all of these things are so much cheaper. And then also I don't have the expense of having a car, which was probably about a third of my budget any given month. That's also a nice peace of mind, I guess, or having peace of mind over that is really good. And then as far as time, so in Germany, like we talked about traveling, but obviously like can't be traveling all the time. And one thing I've come to like in Germany, or like sometimes I have a love-hate relationship with it, but I've grown to appreciate the fact that the stores are closed on Sundays, because like, for example, I was walking to the pool yesterday and I noticed all of these families, like out with like the mom and dads were out with their kids and people are out having a nice time. And it's like, it's really nice to just have one day where you can just fit, like either have a quiet day, or if you want to be with your friends or your family, that's really, and I think that's really, really nice. Obviously I miss being able to like pop into the store if I need to, but I guess that just forces you to have to be a bit more intentional and make sure that you plan things properly so that when Sunday comes around, you have everything that you need. And then I think in Europe in general, they have this very like work to live, not live to work mentality. Like you'll hear story. Like I had a friend, Janet, who she's originally from the US and then she had to move back because of a family thing. But she had told me a story that she had had all this vacation time that she hadn't used and her boss basically forced her to use it. Like, I think she had like 10 days left and he's like, oh, hey, you need to use your vacation time. Whereas in the US, that's like, you if you have any unused vacation time, like they just pay you out for it. Whereas here it's like, nope, you got it. Like you're taking a week off or you're taking 2 weeks off. So that's really cool too. Like, and then like not feeling like you're guilty for asking for time off and stuff like that. Like I still have those moments where I have that American guilt. I don't know if that's the proper way to call it, but like I'm going back to the States in March and while I'm over there, I'm going to take a trip to Mexico. And so I remember having a bit of anxiety when I was getting ready to ask my boss, like, oh, is it okay if I work from the US and also I'm taking a week off to go to Mexico? And by the time, and then when I asked him, he's like, oh yeah, totally fine. Like, don't worry about it. I'm like, I don't even know why I had so much anxiety about this, because it was totally fine. But I guess it's because you're coming from an environment where there are bosses and managers that are like, no, like you can't take vacation right now, or this, that, and the other. And it's like still hanging over me a little bit.
So, you know, how about safety? Like, you know, you feel safe there at night, you know, in general?
Yeah, I'd say I feel pretty safe here. I've never felt like I was unsafe in the US either. But I feel like knowing that, you know, people aren't carrying a concealed gun is really, really nice. And then also, you know, being Black, like one thing that I've heard from other Black people, especially Black men that live in Germany, like the main thing is like, I love that I can go out and like not, and the police aren't going to bother me. And I feel it, I've never really had issues with the police back when I was in the US. And my father was actually a police officer. But I also understand like how it must feel like to be a Black man or be Black in America in general. And like you wonder, like when you go outside, is like, am I gonna be able to come home? Like, or like the anxiety that you, crippling anxiety that you feel when you get pulled over by a cop or when you have to interact with the police, and knowing that you don't have to worry about that here, mm-hmm. that has to be like a huge weight off of your shoulders. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also really nice. But yeah, I'd say Germany is quite safe. Berlin is quite safe. Like, there are some parts of the city that are quite grimy. Mm-hmm. And like, you'll see like a lot of homeless people or like junkies, but they don't typically bother you or anything like that. And mm-hmm. so like a lot of people, it's funny, a lot of people like to complain about Berlin, like, oh, it's not a safe city, it's this big scary city. And it's like, no, it's actually really safe. Like, I've never really felt uncomfortable walking home at night. And I'm lucky that my place is in a pretty busy area where there's a lot of restaurants and bars. And then the I'm in between two train stations that are each about a 10-minute walk. And so there's usually quite a bit of foot traffic in my area either. And so I think that helps, because in the event that something did happen, like, there's somebody that would probably be around to see it and maybe help you. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. yeah, I do feel pretty safe here.
So, you know, you've been there for quite some time now. I mean, do you date there? Do you, like, what's, and if you do, what's dating like?
So I did date in Berlin. I actually have a boyfriend now. Okay. We met in the fall of 2020. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, and it's funny because we both were like, let's see what happens, or we're not really looking for a relationship, but then mm-hmm. it just kind of evolved and we're still together and mm-hmm. it's gotten pretty serious. And so now, like, that's something else I take into consideration when I'm making long-term plans, because this person is German and mm-hmm. he's been in Berlin for, I think he's been here for 8 or 9 years now. Like, he did his bachelor's degree. He moved here to do his bachelor's degree, and then he's pretty much been here the whole time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's, I would say dating in Berlin is, I think it's a double-edged sword, because like for me, I've met some really nice guys, and like, it's really cool the type of people, and it's especially when you do online dating like OkCupid or Tinder or whatever, like, you really get to meet a lot of different people that maybe you wouldn't have met otherwise. And so mm-hmm. for that, I'm thankful. Mm-hmm. But because, as I said earlier, like, Berlin is a very open-minded, almost kind of laissez-faire city. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people aren't, like, if you're looking for something that's more committed or more structured, you're going to have a rough time here, because mm-hmm. a lot of the men and women, because I guess it goes both ways, always want something a bit more open, no strings attached. And so, like, you have to navigate through a lot of that to find somebody that is willing to have something with you and be exclusive and all of that. And mm-hmm. so it took some time, and honestly, I didn't think it was going to happen. Like, it was funny, like, I told myself, like, regardless of what happens with Martin, my boyfriend, I said, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to delete my apps at the end of 2020. And I did. Mm-hmm. And I think, it's got to be a lot. And so I'm like, okay, regardless of what happens with Martin, like, if we end up staying together, obviously I'll delete the apps, because you shouldn't be in a relationship and on dating apps, or I'm going to delete them and just be okay. Because, you know, I moved here single, and I feel like I've spent so much of my life being single that it's like, I'm okay. I'm honestly okay with it. And so it took somebody very exceptional coming in for me to be like, okay, I'm willing to let you into my life and have a relationship with you. Whereas, like, before it was like, okay, like, you're cool, but I'm not willing to give up this life that I have or the peace that I have to bring you into my life, you know? And so, and I keep that in mind. It's like, I have no issue with being single. Like, if for some reason things don't work out, it's like, I have no issue with that. I don't feel like I need to be on the apps.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. So thank you again, Laurel, for being willing to be interviewed by me for this podcast. Are We Home Yet? A podcast for current expats to talk about what it's like to live abroad, the struggles, the joys, and also for future expats to hopefully gain some insight, inspiration, information, and maybe take that leap into something unknown, but maybe wonderful. So with that, I'm going to say, I hope everyone has a great day and have a great day as well, Laurel. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, so tune in for this next episode with Rafeth. Rafeth is an expat from Sri Lanka living in Malaysia. He's working for a travel and technology company and missing the comforts of home that mom used to provide. Don't we all? The laundry, the food, the love. So don't forget to tune in. I'm glad you enjoyed the show. Remember to hit subscribe on your podcast player and also leave a great review and rating of this podcast as well. I'm Jalila Clark. See you next time.